Yeah, it was tough. It was a very, very tough decision because it's creating a new norm for people, and there's so much uncertainty. To your point, how long is this going to be? How do I make this work? How do I deal with my kids being at home? How do I deal with maybe not connecting with my friends and family the same way? And all those things impact us. It impacts us personally and professionally. So it was for me, it was very clear of how do we really increase the communication channels.
Thank you for listening to Ivy Podcast, where we feature weekly leadership conversations with thought leaders and industry experts. Now, here is your host, Fred Obiero.
Hello, and welcome to the Ivy Podcast. I'm here today with Brian Garish, the president of Banfield. Hey, Brian.
Hey, Fred, how are you?
Brian, I gotta tell you, I'll be remiss if I don't mention that I've been really looking forward to this episode. Matter of factly, I have friends that are veterinarians and some that also work in the pet care industry. And I've been telling them about this episode for, I think, a couple of weeks now. And this is one of the ones that I've been really looking forward to. So thanks a lot for making the time to make this happen.
Excellent. No, I'm super excited to be here. Very appreciative of the opportunity.
Right. So give us a brief introduction about yourself and your role, and maybe a little bit on what intrigued you the most about the pet care industry.
Well, I want to start with what intrigued me about the pet care industry, but very, very brief. I'm originally from the Midwest, and I've had a long journey in retail pharmacy previously. I worked at Walgreens, CVS, and then most recently, I've been at Banfield for 5.5 years. Since you asked a little bit about me, I'll be brief, but I'll just share kind of where I came from and how that shaped me to be the leader I am today. So started off my career 16 years old, working at Walgreens drugstores, stocking shelves, sweeping floors, mopping bathrooms, cashiering, you name it, I did it. And I really learned three powerful lessons early on in my time at Walgreens. First was the power of inclusion. Like when I was included in decisions on what our store was doing and how that impacted the patient and the customer, that was very, very powerful. And I also got to experience like when we weren't included and how that impacted, our store and our team as well. So the power of inclusion really struck me from a very early age. Also, what I learned was the power of people development and mentorship. I had a store manager take me under his wing, helped me, inspired me, motivated me, gave me a lot of feedback, and gave me the opportunity to make this a strong career. And I was very, very thankful for that mentorship. And it's something that I want to do today is develop people and mentor as well. And then finally, the power of culture. I got to experience an amazing culture and how that made me and our store feel. And then I also experienced culture that wasn't as positive and how that actually hurt retention and it hurt morale. And what I realized was no matter your role in the organization, you are responsible for creating culture. And those three lessons at Walgreens shaped me throughout my career to CVS and now. But those three lessons were so important. The power of inclusion as a growth strategy, the power of people development and mentorship, and then finally, a culture. No matter what your role is, you're responsible for culture. So my time was spent in pharmacy, as I indicated, but I joined Banfield 5.5 years ago because of my love for pets. I've always had pets, growing up and through my adult life, and just the role that pets have played in my life has been incredibly important. Now, specifically going through a pandemic and working from home, my two cats, Ashton and Kenji, they're so funny to watch. The antics they have are out of control. It brings me tremendous joy, and I use Instagram to connect with our associates, and I post a lot of pictures on Instagram of Ashton and Kenji, and it's a way to give back and let people have that fun experience about my cats as well. But as you said, you were excited for this opportunity. I'm so thankful to have the opportunity to talk to you because the role that pets have played in our lives over this pandemic has been incredibly important. We always knew how important the human-animal bond has been, and now it's undeniable and even more important. So just the love for pets brought me to Banfield. It's been fantastic.
That's wonderful because we've had execs in the past episodes where during the recording of the episode, you'd see the cats crawl up onto the keyboard. And speaking about culture, that's, before the pandemic, that was something that would have been frowned upon. But I think having gone through the year that everybody else did worldwide last year, that's something more of a welcome relief. It breaks down the monotony of work. And just like you said, it brings joy to people and makes people happy. So I'm happy that you're willing to share that not only with us, but also with your own employees, you know, through your Instagram page. Now,
yes,
if I can ask you this, do you have an Instagram page for your cats?
Well, I should. It's Brian Garish. I just taken over the whole Instagram channel. Yeah. You know, it, you bring up Instagram and around Ashton and Kenji, I should have their own page, by the way. What's so important, specifically going through a pandemic, we're all experiencing uncertainty. We're all experiencing the blending of our personal, professional lives and forming new habits. And this is impacting all of us differently, but it is impacting all of us. And interestingly enough, it really comes back to how can you connect in authentic ways? And how can you, you know, provide that psychological safety for people to ask questions? And those questions aren't always easy questions. I mean, these are tough questions that we're all struggling and dealing with. And before the pandemic, I used social media to connect with our associates. So Banfield Pet Hospital, you know, we have over 1,000 hospitals across the United States. We're in 42 states, Washington, D.C., Puerto Rico. We have a teaching hospital in Mexico City. We have over 19,000 associates. So trying to stay connected to all of our people to understand what they're experiencing, what's working, what's not working, that has been incredibly important to me. And really, I guess when, if I think about it, me personally, like my leadership brand, like what I stand for, like what really drives me is I lead with empathy, impatience, and impact. And empathy shows up for me of how can I connect in authentic ways with all of our associates. Now, maybe I can't connect with all 19,000, but I want to have an outlet in which I can connect to all of our associates. And before the pandemic, I would get 15 messages a day from our associates, and I would just post what's happening in my life. I'd post what Ashton and Kenji's doing and bring that emotional connection with what the power of pets and what they mean to us. And then during the pandemic, that was a way to connect because I could not only connect with people and through conversation, but I can also see what's happening in our hospitals based on our hospitals posting on what's happening in their lives. And that type of interaction is invaluable. It gives me insights in terms of what's happening. It gives me the opportunity to connect and listen to our people. And when you can have that love of connection, it reinforces either the decisions we've made or the direction we need to head based on what's best for our associates.
Sticking to the topic about the pandemic, we're coming up on about a year of the full-time work from home experiment, if you will, that many organizations have had to deal with due to the COVID-19 pandemic. Yeah. I want to pick your brain about the decision-making process after company operations were disrupted with how the pandemic news first broke out last year, mainly because a lot of people didn't know what was going to happen. You know, is this something that's going to be temporary? Nobody had ever gone through this, at least in our lifetime. So how did you go about the decision-making process to shift a majority of the workforce to be fully remote?
Yeah, it was tough. It was a very, very tough decision because it's creating a new normal for people. And there's so much uncertainty. To your point, how long is this going to be? How do I make this work? How do I deal with my kids being at home? How do I deal with maybe not connecting with my friends and family the same way? And all those things impact us. It impacts us personally and professionally. So it was very clear of how do we really increase the communication channels. Our corporate affairs communications department was absolutely fantastic through this and really demonstrated by creating a communication model to just keep people informed and ask questions of what's on your mind. And we cataloged all those questions of what's on people's mind. We brought them into themes and then we'd address them the next day. So we literally, at the start of the pandemic, we had what I would call like two-way type conversations. Mm-hmm. We communicated everything out of what we knew and what we know to keep people informed and aligned on our principles. Our five principles really guided so many of our decisions around what we were going to do, specifically around mutuality and responsibility. We needed to make sure we were being very mutual with our associates. And when we understood our responsibility was to first and foremost keep all of our associates safe, keep them working, and making sure that we were doing everything we can to make sure we were all aligned on making a better world for pets. At Banfield Pet Hospital, every procedure we do is designed for the basis of the pet or the pet population. And helping the pets and the pet population allowed us to stay grounded on our purpose. So when I talk about the communication trees, we would communicate everything out. Here's everything that we know around whether it was the pandemic, the economy, what our associates were experiencing, our hospitals, our markets, the states, et cetera. And then we spent just as much time saying, now what's on your mind? And through all of our levels of the organization, we did that. We did it every single day for months. And it was important that we invested that time to keep people as informed as possible and to listen to what's on their mind. And then that next day, we would then give answers to what's on their mind. And once I really believe like our associates understood that not only is my voice being heard, but I'm part of this conversation. And being part of the conversation, while it's still difficult, while it's still unfortunate to be in a pandemic, there's some level of involvement and power that you're at least part of the conversation versus things are just happening to you.
Right. And one thing that you talk about is communicating to everybody so that all parties know what's going on, what are the decisions that are going to be made. Because like you said, people are worried about, am I going to lose my job? What's the economic impact that my company is going to face and so on and so forth. So to that end, I'm curious to know, from your perspective, what are the top leadership traits that make for a strong leader in moments of crisis?
It is about communication. I think at the end of the day, it's how do you really create the connections and facilitate opportunities to communicate authentically, transparently, and with true two-way dialogue. I think that was the most important skill or competency that I saw with our leaders that were able to really connect in authentic ways so people understood, I'm telling you everything I know, we're in this together, and what's on your mind, and so I can provide those answers and some thoughts. And that level of assurance is incredibly important. So I think the ability to communicate effectively often was one of the best traits that I've seen in leaders. I mentioned earlier, leading with empathy and patience and impact. For me, that allowed me to try to be my best self during this for our team and all of our 19,000 associates. Using empathy has, in my opinion, probably never been more important, because this is not just about us. As a leader, it's not looking at yourself to say, what am I experiencing? It's about remembering and reflecting that I have so much impact that I can make. And when I make that impact, I've got to be my best. And I have to not take for granted what other people are experiencing. So that ability to relate to so many associates' feelings of what they're experiencing and whether they show up as their best selves that day, it's about asking powerful questions just to understand like what's happening in your life right now. And when you're able to do that, that goes back to that psychological safety. When you can create psychological safety, you are allowing people to not only bring their authentic selves to work, but bring their authentic and real voice to work. And sometimes the conversations are not positive or not easy, but empathy allows you to understand what are the stated and unstated concerns, because as a leader, we have a responsibility to help. So I talk a lot about communication through the pandemic, but I would say that empathy is incredibly important. And then my impatience is around, we're not doing enough fast enough, because we have a responsibility as a business. I believe all businesses have a responsibility truly to be a beacon for how a company ought to behave in society. And what drives me is about making an impact in society. So the pandemic was an opportunity to continue to make that impact in society, keep our associates safe, keep our associates working, using empathy to connect with them. And that impatience just really drove, we got to do more, we got to be faster, because society and people are counting on us.
Banfield has several pet hospitals. I believe you said, you guys operate in 42 states within the U.S. Yeah. And it's safe to say that veterinarians don't necessarily have a choice like most other people do when it comes to work from home, since they have to go into the facilities.
Right.
Can you speak to some of the challenges that you face in transitioning from leading a workforce while being in the office to having to lead the company while working from home? How has that been for you?
Yeah, it's been frustrating, because I don't get to be in our hospitals with our associates. the best times, the best days I have is when I'm traveling in a market and I'm in the hospitals connecting with our associates and just asking what's working, what's not working. And that conversation really helps me understand, you know, where our strategic direction ought to go. The strategic direction of our company, just to be clear, is really designed by our associates, or it's reinforced that these are the right things we should be working on. So it's been a challenge. Now it's just, we just have to shift. So I've done a ton of virtual visits, and all of our leaders have moved to a virtual style visit. So while we're not in our hospitals with a lot of our associates, we are able to at least be on a Zoom to listen to them. And now more than ever, leadership's important. It's even more important because you can't be in there in the hospital with them shoulder to shoulder. So you're now trying to connect with them over Zoom. And it's about asking powerful questions to really get at the insights of what they're experiencing. And it's not about telling people what to do. It's helping them with how to do it or how to make those shifts. So it becomes a little more difficult, don't get me wrong, but it's an opportunity for our leaders to still do what they've done best. And that's not just tell people what to do, it's help them with the how. Now, you talked about our veterinarians, and yes, our associates are still in the hospitals, but we've done everything we can to keep them safe. So we have all the PPE our associates need to keep safe, and we've really gone to more of a drop-off type of model where clients can bring their pets in, and we either take their pet from their car, so have like a curbside pickup, or a lot of our hospitals are actually co-located inside of a PetSmart. And so they're able to come inside of PetSmart, go to our front desk, drop their pets off, and then our teams have still been able to take care of all the pets' needs and take care of all the pets that way as well.
That's wonderful to hear. I was not even aware of the PetSmart drop-off, but that's a good avenue for people that are a little hesitant of coming
yes.
into contact with others. So that's wonderful to hear that you guys are in the forefront of doing that. What I was going to yes, follow up with.
I was just going to add, and then our digital transformation began pre-COVID, but we've accelerated that through COVID. And, you know, Banfield is really known for preventive care. We're the leader in preventive care, and preventive care is so important to just keeping our pets healthy from the start, to really make sure we can do everything we can to take care of them and keep that human-animal bond even stronger. But we have a wellness plan, an optimum wellness plan. And so one example is, you know, redesigning our website, going to a system in which you can sign up for a wellness plan online or through an app versus previous, you know, you would have to come into a hospital and sign some paperwork or do it, you know, even on the register. But doing things in a contactless way, doing things and using technology to make things more efficient has been a priority, and we've accelerated that, whether that's checking in and checking out online or checking in and checking out on your app, making sure that our clients feel safe when they are coming to our hospitals to take care of their pets' needs, and allowing our associates really make a better world for pets that way.
That's actually a good segue, because I was going to ask about the operational impact on those veterinarians and other resources that didn't have the luxury of working from home. Now, as far as feeling safe, what was the impact on them? You talked about empathy earlier on. What was the impact on those veterinarians that still had to go to the office, you know, to make ends meet? And at the same time, they were dealing with the pandemic that nobody knew anything about. You know, how did you guys overcome that challenge?
Well, it was tough. I would say really using empathy. And when I talk to our field leaders, our hospitals are broken up into 75 different markets, and they're led by a field director. And any opportunity I had to talk to all of our leaders, it was please lead with empathy. And we'd have a weekly call. I would have a weekly call with all of our field leaders and are on the business and medicine side. And it was really rooted around how do we make sure that we're utilizing empathy to understand what's happening. And it really turned into almost resilience. How do you become resilient? And so we had taken our leaders through lots of different learnings, educational platforms, and understanding like, what does resilience mean? How can you show up more impactful as a leader? Because to answer your question, our teams, they were all over the board in terms of what they were experiencing. We had some of teams that were just like, this is great. We're here for pets. We got this. We have PPE. We're safe. Let's go. And we had other people that maybe they felt that way, but they were experiencing COVID. in their family or a family member had it, and you're trying to take this into work, and the demand for service are very high because we need to keep our pets safe. So it's been all over the, I would say it's been all over the board, and it's an opportunity for us to not take anything for granted. And we just continue to keep that message to our leaders on leadership matters. And, you know, Fred, what I'll share with you as well is from my early times at Walgreens, when I brought up what I learned about inclusion, how powerful that is around people development, mentorship. And the third thing was culture. So culture is my top priority. The number one priority I have is to create the best culture. And every leader is responsible for creating that culture. So when the pandemic was happening to us, it really came back to that culture. Culture is everything. And if you create the right culture, you're going to create that psychological safety to have the right conversations for that two-way dialogue, to understand the stated and unstated concerns. And that's your role right now. It's just to communicate, and provide that level of support. And everyone's going to need a different level of support. But our job as leaders is not to create a standardized template that everyone must follow. It's to truly have a personalized approach to understand that whatever you need, I need to give you what you need. I need to see you as a person, and I need to understand what you're experiencing. When I can do that as a leader, that's going to help you. It's going to help your team. It's going to help the market. It's going to help our clients, pets, et cetera. And that's the most important thing we can do as a leader right now, is provide that level of support.
A few moments ago, you talked about digital transformation and how mm-hmm. Banfield started on that before COVID. What are some of the technological advancements that are reshaping the pet care industry? Have there been any new advancements that were developed as a result of this social distancing world we currently live in? And if yes, what are your thoughts on how those can be adopted?
Yeah, I think I think it's been more about the acceleration of some of these tools. The best one I can share with you is VetChat. So it's essentially like telehealth, telemedicine. It's a version of that in the veterinary space. And so Banfield had a service called VetChat. Through the app, you hit a button, you can connect with a veterinary professional and ask questions. So that existed prior to COVID. COVID happened, and then we saw that almost triple. I mean, it was unbelievable, the usage around that. So now we understand that people maybe are not feeling as comfortable as leaving, but they're still paying attention to their pet's health. Actually, they're paying more attention to their pet's health. Because if you think about it, you're at home all day long now. And you can see your dog's behavior, your cat's behavior. And I learned a lot of things about what my cats do when I was away. And it was kind of funny to watch them. I'm like, what are you doing? This is kind of crazy. But anyway, I digress. But that love, I share that because that's the love we have. And we saw so many people say, hey, my cat's doing this. What does this mean? Or my dog's doing this. And they would use VetChat. So what we found out was this was a great offering and tool prior to COVID. Now it's going to be a requirement going forward. So what's our responsibility to make sure that we have the right tools for our clients to be able to engage with our veterinary professionals to really have that bond around being on a partnership for the health of the pet?
If we weren't on Zoom right now, I'd be bursting out laughing, because what you're telling me is the same thing that some of my veterinarian friends tell me, which is a lot of people are spending a lot more time at home mm-hmm. with their pets. And they're noticing their pets doing strange things that are not out of the ordinary. And they confuse that with something is wrong with my dog or my cat. And
right.
And when they describe this, what they saw their pets doing, they're being told, oh, that's normal. That's nothing really. So it's funny to me that you also are talking about this. And this is something that, you know, most of my friends that work in the veterinarian space, they tell me the same exact thing. But
yeah.
On the flip side, it's actually a good thing, because now people are able to learn more about not just their pets, but, you know, those species in general, how they do things, how they behave, you know, over extended periods of time. So that's something wonderful. And if you tie that back to the vet chat that you described, instead
right.
of having to go to the facility, they can just inquire right there in front of their computer, or I believe you guys probably have a mobile application for that.
Yes.
That is the future.
Without question, it's the future. And because not every time, let me step back. When you don't have that option, what do you do? Well, either you can just go online and start Googling symptoms and trying to understand it, but you're not really connecting with a healthcare professional.
Right.
And connecting with a veterinary professional is so important. We believe in that veterinary relationship and that bond. You know, we always encourage everyone to find a veterinarian, build that relationship, and be on a journey together, because these veterinary professionals have a purpose to make a better world for pets. And when you can connect with them, you can get all your questions answered. Why VetChat's so great is because without a system like this, like I said, you maybe would just Google some symptoms and try to understand, and or you would go into the veterinarian, and not every single issue needs to be seen by a veterinarian. It can just be answered very, very quickly. And that actually allows clients to be taken care of, to get their questions answered with a partner, their veterinarian. And then it could free up some space for the pets that actually need to be seen as well. So it's truly a win-win for everyone there.
Right. Now, earlier we talked about communicating mm-hmm. with your associates just to make them feel engaged and include them in any decisions that are being made by the company. Now, from a different dimension, what strategies do you employ to make sure that your personality and management style come through remotely, particularly when it comes to nonverbal communications with your direct reports?
Yeah, well, I try to model the way, and I expect all of our leaders to bring their authentic selves and their authentic leadership selves to work every single day and making sure that they're connecting with their teams. So for me, again, I'll go back to Instagram. I use Instagram to post what's happening in business, what's happening in my personal life, just to connect with people. And this is who I am. I mean, this is who I am. This is what I stand for. This is what I'm about. And I feel great because I get so many of our associates will reach out. And maybe it starts with just liking a picture, but then it always will build up to, hey, can I ask a question? Or, hey, have we ever thought about? And so those things are powerful. We'll also do things on Instagram. So I've done some things called like Banter with Brian, where anyone can ask me any question. I dedicate some time and people just send their questions in. I answer the questions and I'll either answer it in a direct message or I'll post it to like a sticker format. But we create lots of different platforms. Also internally that we do is we've created a Be Empowered series, where it's about helping our leaders learn some topics and learn about ways to get some extra tools for the toolbox, specifically in a time in which we're not traveling as much. So I'm very, very driven by learning, but more specifically by curiosity, I would say. Like when I think about my values, like what do I truly value? I value making an impact. I value curiosity. It's about understanding what people are experiencing and what's happening. And that actually is encompassing of learning. And it's also about empathy. And those three values are really at my core. The empathy is about, again, connecting and understanding what people are experiencing or needing. And then through that curiosity, through those questions, showing up in how I am so people can get to see me and experience me, I then get to use those themes and make sure that our senior leadership team is doing the same thing. Our leaders in the field are doing the same thing, creating those same conditions to connect with our associates. And that's, to me, it's worked out very, very well. And it's provided those Be Empowered sessions, these learning sessions around learning about resilience, learning about habits, learning about rituals, learning about, you know, equity, inclusion, and diversity, and how I can even be a stronger leader. So it's about creating those platforms for people to learn so they then can go influence people to make a bigger impact.
And that's important, because I was talking to an executive leadership coach, and one of the things that she was telling me was that, you know, a lot of people are finding this challenge, especially during COVID, where they may communicate something on email that, you know, is taken the wrong way versus if they say that, you know, face-to-face or on a Zoom call. That's why in a lot of team settings these days, it's always encouraged for everybody to have their, you know, their cameras turned on so people can actually see the nonverbal communication things that otherwise would be lost in translation. And you end up having people generate conflict when it's needless to be there.
That's right. That's absolutely right. One of the things I'll mention, we talk about that Zoom being there. Listen, I want our leaders to be back in our hospitals. I can't wait till we can get over whatever the new normal is. I know people are really excited to start traveling again. But think about this. We have a market, and that market has, you know, two leaders. a veterinary leader and a business leader on the business side. They would spend so much time driving between hospitals, and maybe they're on the phone calling other hospitals and connecting, but when they're in the hospital, that's a priceless experience. But all that time driving between, they now get to save that. Our leaders are actually spending more time doing visits, albeit virtually, but we're still doing more visits. We can connect with our teams. And we've been able to create that space for people to connect. And that connection goes a long way. And it really goes back to what you're talking about. Videos are on, what's working, what's not working. And again, when I talk about leading with empathy, I keep saying that because I keep telling our team, don't focus on the what, focus on the how. Let the what be part, start the conversation, but then just ask powerful questions, because you're not there. You may miss some of the body language. You may miss some of those points, but our teams have to feel like they're being heard, that they're understood, and that they have support. And it's not going to be perfect. I understand that, but you can create a very, very supportive environment, and creating that level of support is hugely important right now.
Absolutely. Now, leadership techniques have had to be redefined given we're living through a pandemic. What is the biggest mistake you see new leaders in new positions make in the current environment? And what strategic recommendations can you provide to help others improve on their leadership styles?
Yeah, I think what's one of the things I see, whether it's in a pandemic or just new leaders in general, it's leading with empathy, not sympathy. If some result is not optimal, or if something's left on the table and you want to approve something from a business standpoint, most people know that they're not achieving that result. It's about asking powerful questions and using empathy to understand what is or isn't happening so you can help them achieve those goals. Sympathy is the wrong approach. Sympathy is, I understand you're overwhelmed, or I understand whatever the excuse may be. And providing that understanding enables that behavior. So for me, like, seeing a leader understand now that in a new position or through any situation, it's about empathy, not sympathy. Because your job as a leader is to help your people fight through what those obstacles are or those impediments. And as a leader, you have the opportunity to understand what is or isn't happening and help people get over those hurdles. And that's a very, very powerful thing. At the end of the day, every leader has really two things to be responsible for. One, leading your team. And two, delivering those consistent results. No matter if you're for-profit, not-for-profit, results matter. And I believe results, the best results come when you actually lead your people. So my advice to any new leader is, how can you really use empathy to connect authentically with your people to understand what's happening, develop very, very high standards, help them with the how, and deliver those consistent results. And when you can do that, you can make the biggest impact you can.
Last question, Brian, and this is a very important question, not just to me, but to a lot of our listeners, who most of them are, you know, new MBA grads, and some of them going all the way up to C levels like yourself. And people are always curious, you know, how did this person make it to this level? What did they have to navigate through, you know, in their personal life and experiences to get there? And you may have talked about some of this in your opening statement, but I was just going to revisit this one more time.
Sure.
What has helped you to get to where you are, and what word of advice would you give to someone that wants to pursue a career that's similar to yours?
Yes. Well, anyone can achieve whatever they want to achieve. It's about being very intentional and putting the time, the work, and making the right levels of commitment. So first thing is, I never said no. That's not a word in my vocabulary. And I've had to figure out how to be more strategic with my time. Don't get me wrong, because sometimes I don't manage my time the best, because I want to make an impact. I want to make an impact on society. It's all about, how can I help? And so it's always like, yes, 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 we can do more. But I share that because, yes, I've moved several times. I'm from the Midwest. And from my time at CVS, I went from Indianapolis to Charlotte. I covered South Carolina and parts of Georgia. I moved to New York, covered that market. From New York, I moved to California, covered 17 different states. I moved to Banfield, and it was always about, what is an opportunity for me to make an impact? And every job is out there. Every job's going to become available. It's how intentional are you going to be to take the opportunities, to get the skill set, to get the experiences. And if you're willing to put the time, work, And again, comes back to those two things: have the right standards, the highest standards possible. But those two things, leading people and delivering results. When you can do that, at the end of the day, everything else will follow. And it only happens when you put yourself in these experiences to stretch, to fail, to learn, to grow. But even if you fail, it's what you learn and move forward and keep going, keep going, keep going. But at the end of the day, I always just said yes, and I wanted to take advantage of every single opportunity. And I'm thankful I got to see what inclusion looked like and how powerful that was. I'm also thankful that I had a mentor, and that's something that's important to me. And I love mentoring. I love developing others. And that's incredibly important, because I had to do the work, but I needed those opportunities as well. And having that mentor and having the sponsors are so incredibly important. So that's important for me as well, to give back. And then it comes down to culture. When you create the right culture, again, you create the culture by taking care of people, by listening to people, again, having the highest standards and expectations. And it's about leading people and teams and delivering those consistent results. And that's really, again, shaped me to the leader I am today, someone who leads with empathy, impatience, and impact.
Brian, it's been a brilliant conversation. Thanks a lot for being with us today. And I can't wait for us to have a follow-up conversation in the near future.
Absolutely, Fred. Thank you very much for your time today. I really enjoyed it. Happy to help anytime I can.
Thanks, Brian.
Thank you.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode of Ivy Podcast. Please take a moment to rate, review, and subscribe on your preferred podcast listening platform. We really appreciate that effort. Until next time.